Take your Bibles, if you will. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll be reading first three verses. The title of the message today is A Time to Pray for Israel. A Time to Pray for Israel. Now, you're going to think when I'm preaching it that I'm giving you a history lesson, maybe even a little politics, but that's not the purpose of it. We'll stay with me and we'll try to make it practical, especially at the end. But I think people are ignorant to really who Israel is and what God is doing with Israel. And if there's any sign that we ought to watch today concerning eschatology, the last things, it ought to be watching Israel. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 is where it all started, really. And look at verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That was going to take faith on his part. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I'm going to make a nation, a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. Get that in your mind. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remember that the Jews are God's covenant people. God made a covenant with them. Satan hates Jews. And Satan hates Christians. You can count on it. He hates Jews and Christians. And there are so many errors out there being taught and purported today about Israel that need to be corrected. The Western news media doesn't do a lot to help. And if you're a Gen Z, you don't need to be watching or depending on TikTok for your news. Do I hear an amen? If you want to get your news, get it from All Israel News. You may want to jot that down. You can get real news from a place. You can Google it, All Israel News. And then there's another very reputable place, and it's Caroline Glick, CaroLineGlick.com. Google those, and you'll get the real truth, and you'll get a daily up-to-date on what really is happening in Israel, and it won't be twisted in any way. Now, let's look, first of all, at the past truthful history of Israel. Notice I said truthful. The past truthful history of Israel. The Western news and the liberals say that they are just simply colonialist. They're taking privileges that they should not have. And they're wanting to come and take land that really does not belong to them. I don't know if you knew this or not. You may not have, but 2,100 years ago, the Jews lived in their land before that was called Palestine, and it was called Israel. 2,100 years. 2,600 years before Islam was ever a religion. Before that, archaeology has proven that there was a place called Israel. Egyptian monuments, 13 B.C., refer to Israel. That's going way back. A Canaanite monument, the 9th century B.C., during that time period, refers to King David, and it calls him King of what? Israel. King of Israel. 586, some great things happened, and then there was a deportation, and then they came back in 536 B.C., but from 586 B.C. until 1948 A.D., many of the world powers have tried to destroy and ransack and ruin and kill and snuff out all of the Jews. They have persecuted them for years. Egypt did. the Philistines did, and I can give you a lot more than these. Rome did. I've been over to Masada. Some of you have seen Masada and gone up there on that mountain that is right near the Dead Sea. And the Romans destroyed who was left there. At least they made them come to the place where they were going to destroy them. So they came there, and there was so many there that or the leader of it said to the men, what you need to do is kill your wife and your children, and then we'll commit suicide. And that was the last little group left when the Roman Empire was fighting them during that time. There were some others spread out, but primarily the influx of them was there. And then came someone called Adolf Hitler. Anybody ever heard of him? Adolf Hitler. You see, the devil's always working against them. Always has been. And all of these places are right now in the graveyard of the nations in history. Do you think that's an accident? Or do you think maybe God had something to do with it? And one of these times I'm going to teach it in a series in Sunday school and go into all the details. But listen, the Jews have not occupied all of the land that God promised them yet. But they will someday. When, preacher? In the millennial kingdom. The Jews will occupy that land. So will other saved people occupy the land. But they will be special occupants of the land in the millennial thousand-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Three times in history that we would call the major times that they were driven from their land. They had famine and they were driven to Egypt. And then who brought them out of that? You know, of course, they were returned under Moses and Joshua. They could have been wiped out. And then Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and all of that group. Ezra, Nehemiah, we read those books where they return back to the land. In 70 A.D., Titus ransacked the temple, destroyed all of that area there, and really ransacked Israel. But now they are returning to Israel. I remember standing in line at an airport talking to an elderly Jewish man. This was probably 30 years ago. And he was so excited. He was coming from another country, and he was getting to go back to his homeland. And my, was he excited. We had a wonderful conversation about it. But they're returning. You know why? God said they would. Ezekiel 37:21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. God said, I'm going to bring them back to their own land. Now, it's interesting that a lot of the Jewish people have not left America that we're here. They don't want to leave America because America, and I believe the reason America has been blessed all of these years is because they have been friends of the Jews and they have stood by them and they have helped protect them all of these years. And God has blessed it because he said he would bless those that bless them. But you see what's happening in our country now? There is a great rise of anti-Semitism. And in some places, it's very surprising where that has happened. Anti-Semitism, we are seeing it right now. I think we're on the edge of seeing an exodus out of America because of what we're seeing, where more Jews are going to go back to their homeland. They are not feeling safe in America anymore. And beneath all of the political workings that are going on in Washington and all, some of the things that are being said publicly are being denied privately. And some of the plans privately are not at all in favor of the Jews in some of those statements. And I think we're on the edge of seeing the exodus. Now, it might be interesting to you to find out how the land got the name Palestine. How did it ever get that name? It's called Palestine. Well, after 70 AD, Titus destroyed, as I said, Jerusalem. Hadrian became the Roman emperor. He was harsh, mean, terrible, cruel. Hadrian absolutely hated the Jews. I mean, he hated them with a passion. They had cost him money because of their uprisings. They had cost him some political problems because of that. They had cost time and energy and military might and all of that, and then caused him to have to go and sack Masada as they did. But the last uprising, he destroyed their temple. And when he did, he said, here's what it's going to be in the Roman Empire and all over the world that we control. We will no longer, we're going to change all the maps. We will no longer call it Israel. It will be changed and it will be called Philistina. And the reason he chose Philistina, because the greatest enemies the Jews ever had upon any occasion were the Philistines. And to rub it in their face, he said, we'll call it Philistina, or as we would know it today, Palestine. That's how it got its name. The Jews had it a long time before that. And God says, absolutely not. God says, I gave it to Abraham, and it's going to be called Israel. It will be called Israel. In 1948, they returned to the land, and guess what they call the land from that time on, with Ben-Gurion and others being involved, and our president, they called it Israel. Israel again. God said that they'd come back to the land. The common argument today to delegitimize Israel is that they are accusing them of occupying the land that belongs to the Palestinians. Now, how can the Jews steal a land from the Palestinians who have never owned the land in the first place? They never did own the land. They never have owned the land. The truthful history of Israel. And this is how it came about. And thank God it's still called Israel now, and they're back in the land. Secondly, let's think about the hateful history of Hamas. The hateful history of Hamas. Hamas has two meanings primarily. In Arabic, it means to struggle, it means zeal, and it means strength. In Hebrew, that word simply means primarily one word, violence. Hamas, violence, the jihad, the holy wars that they want to be part of. And a Muslim terrorist organization is made up of the Sunni Muslims, a mean bunch of people. How does the news present it today? Well, they don't present it in fairness. In spite of what happened on October the 7th, where they went into that place, that music place, and they killed people. They killed their people. They killed Jews. It doesn't matter to them if they killed Jews or if they killed the Arabic people, because they have a purpose. And they are struggling and striving to accomplish that purpose, and that is to annihilate and get rid of all the Jews. They are a hateful, murderous group of terrorists. A group of terrorists who exist for one reason, and they're linked up with others for one reason, only to kill the Jews. The total destruction of Israel is what they want. You hear the chants on TV now, not only in our land, but in other land, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Do you understand what they're saying by that? Everybody that knows anything knows that they're saying we want to destroy the Jews. They're not just talking about Gaza and that little bit of land. They're talking about all of Israel. They want to destroy the Jews. Genocide, destruction, total destruction of Israel. Everybody ought to know that's what they're talking about. That's what that chant means. In fact, back in October in Vienna, they banned the chant. The reason they banned it was because they know it was a call of violence against the Jewish people. They understood it, and they said, we're not going to have it. We ban it. Would to God they'd do it here. But we carry free speech a little bit too far sometimes, in my humble opinion. Hamas not only hates the Jews, they hate you Christians. Look at yourself. They hate you. I promise you, they absolutely hate you. They hate all Christians. And they absolutely hate America. They are prompted and funded by Iran. That's who's calling the shots, along with some in the United States. But they are prompted by Iran. Remember this part of Islam. Whether it's the Shia people in the north, or Hezbollah, or the Sunnis in the south, Hamas, to them they'll tell you that America is the great Satan and Israel is the little Satan. And that they will tell you without hesitation. To them, both should be destroyed. Hamas actually hates its own people. They don't care about them. Al-Shifa, the hospital, the largest in Gaza City. Where does it sit? Over Hamas control center. They put it there for a reason. They don't care what happens to those people in the hospital. And by the way, that is a war crime, what they've done. It is a war crime. Israel is doing now what other countries would not do, what other nations would not do. Look at Russia and the Ukraine. They're not worried about a hospital or anything else. They're just going in there and bombing it all to pieces. They don't care. And the Israelites, the people in Israel who are in charge, are being very gracious compared to what they could do. There is a video that exists. I wish I could get it and show you sometime. But the Israeli military told them on this video, it's recorded what he was telling the leaders of Hamas and some of them. He said, get your people out or they will be destroyed. And Hamas said, we will not move. We are not going to move. And the Israeli officer said, a lot of people will die. And listen to this. This is what the Palestinian leader, maybe the leader of Hamas, said. Then we'll have more pictures for the media. Go ahead and kill all the people in the hospital, and we'll have more pictures to turn people against the United States of America. They don't care, because that's not their concern. That's not their purpose. There is a great propaganda war going on right now. And they are unfortunately influencing those in the West who are too lazy to read what is actually happening, too unwilling to listen to the facts and know what's really going on. Hamas was founded in 1987. It's an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. They were elected as the governing body of that area in Gaza, and they were elected in 2006, and guess what? They have had no elections since then. Not one election since then. Does that tell you anything? They took over and they're still in charge, some of the poor people there. But the people in Palestine, even though they know they want to destroy the Jews, they still put up with them. They will not march against them. They will not revolt against them. Where are the marches over there against them and the criticisms, and even in the West, to cast off these despicable, and that's what they are, terrorists? Hamas exists to destroy the Jews. I want to read you a quote out of their charter, 1988, when they constructed their charter. On the destruction of Israel, the preamble states this: Israel exists and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. And many other statements are like that in their charter. Now I ask you this question. Does that sound like a peaceful group? Does that sound like a governing body who wants peace, and a group of people that in one of the most densely populated areas on the face of the planet? Does that sound like they really want peace? And the attack on October the 7th at the music festival, they didn't just slaughter the Jews, as I said. They slaughtered Arab Muslims because they don't care. That's not their worry. That's not their purpose. They are spiritually inspired. You say, how? By demons. They are demon controlled and demon possessed. Some of you may not be familiar with the teaching on demons. They are real. They serve the devil. And they are all inspired by hell itself. Demon possessed. Anti-Semitism is Satanism. Read your Bible. Anti-Semitism is Satanism. And I say, as a church family, this is just me, I think we should unapologetically stand with Israel. And I think that there should be absolutely no confusion about that whatsoever. Thirdly, let's look at the not only the truthful history of Israel and the hateful history of Hamas, but the biblical history of Christianity. In the Holocaust, a few Christians helped out. Thank God they did. But I'm telling you, the Christian church during the Holocaust was all too quiet. I say that to say we need to speak up. We need to take a stand and let there be no qualms about it. The Christian church was too quiet. In fact, it's still, you try to witness to Jews, it still cuts into their heart. And they have not forgotten that the Christians, by and large, did not stand with them during the Holocaust. That's a sad mark on the sin of Christianity. And it makes it very hard to share the gospel with them. I was surprised when I first found that out. I thought, they just don't want to hear. And then somebody was telling me, and I was telling them about some of the conversation. They said, you got to go back and understand. They still are bitter to some degree at Christians because they didn't stand up for them when there were over 6 million of them slaughtered during the Holocaust. That's why it's hard to witness to some of them. We have to understand today that we have a great connection with the Jewish people. A great connection with them. By the way, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. All the apostles, some think a couple were not, but I think all the apostles were by and large Jewish. And almost all members of the church at Jerusalem were Jewish people in the first church, First Baptist Church, at Jerusalem. At Jerusalem. You cannot separate the history of Christians from the history of our Jewish root. You cannot do it. If anyone should support the Jews, it should be the Christians. Just think of what they've given us and what God has given us through them. There's a growing teaching, you may or may not be familiar with it, that says, oh, God is finished. He's through with the Jews. Totally finished with the Jews. That is not so. That's a popular theological teaching now that's coming on the scene called replacement theology. And they are saying that the church has replaced the Jews. Friend, you will not find that in the Bible. Israel is still Israel. The Catholics are one of the worst about it. Some Protestant churches are teaching that. Some evangelicals. And yes, believe it or not, some Baptist churches are teaching replacement theology. And I'm telling you, Israel is still Israel. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 11:1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. The word Israel is important and is found in the Bible no less than 2,500 times. The word Israel is important to God. And yet the world is turning against him. And we're seeing it happen very rapidly, very quickly. But God is going to be faithful to the Jews. You see, God will not turn against his covenant. When God makes a covenant, God keeps his covenant promises. He signed that covenant. We don't have time to read it, but you read it at home in Genesis 12 and 15. He said, line up the sacrifices. Some on this side, some on that side. And then the whole thing was back then when they made a covenant and they walked through that, they were saying, if I don't keep my covenant with you, then I deserve to die, and they might kill them. But here we have the presence, as it were, of God, the incense there. You can read about it. In the flaming torch, they represented the presence of God. And God walked through those sacrifices in that presence and said, I'm telling you, Abraham, if I don't keep my covenant promise to you, then I deserve to die like anybody else that didn't keep their covenant promise. Of course, God's not going to die. And I'm just emphasizing the truth that God is going to keep his promise, his covenant, even if Israel has been unfaithful. If God could break his covenant with Israel, then he could break his covenant with the church, with us Christians, his promises to us. They have been unfaithful many times, we have too, but God keeps his promise. I'm going to wind up in heaven. How you know that, preacher? God told me I was. He said it in his word. It's very clear. And I can count on it, and so can you if you're saved. God's faithfulness to Israel should be an encouragement to all of us today. If he was faithful to Israel, and he is faithful to us, and he's going to keep his word. We cannot lose our salvation. Even if we're not faithful sometimes, he may spank us pretty good, but he's always faithful to us. And then lastly, the powerful history of prayer. The powerful history of prayer. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going through that now, as Christians we have. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Friend, we are in unusual times. We need to pay attention. God is moving. Major moves. Tremendous moves. It is affecting our country. It is affecting other countries. And a lot of the things that are prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and other places, we see it all set up. It's all on the table. All it has to do is God say, move right now. And I just got this word, Brother Sides. I was telling him what I was going to preach on. He said, let me give you some breaking news. I said, give it to me. I'll put it in my message. That'll be the best part of it. And he said that right now that one of our United States warships has been attacked and some of our commercial ships have been under attack at the Red Sea. These are not accidents, folks. God is moving. Things are changing. Things are happening. And I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord, Dr. Barber says, look up, Jesus is coming soon. I'm telling you, friend, it could happen soon. And I'm not trying to scare anybody into being saved. If I could, I'd do it anyway. But this is not a political war. It's a spiritual war. You want to know how much the devil hates you? Look at what he's trying to do to Israel. He hates you just as much as he hates Israel. And they hate, and that hate was expressed again in the Six-Day War, and God took care of that. And then is expressed again on October the 7th. Here's what I'm saying. We need prayer. Not just now, lay me down to sleep. But God, thank you for this hot dog and french fries. But we need to get on our knees before God and pray and pray and pray. This war that's going on now, we need to be on our knees about it. We really do. We need to be praying for the Jews and for Israel. This could easily be setting the stage for the coming battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38. And here's something that is possible. I don't know if it'll happen, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of conversation about this. America could turn on Israel. You see, this conflict with the Russians could really be something that would draw us away. And the situation with Taiwan and China, where is that going to go? That could take up our military and all of those things. We don't know. There are some things that could pull America away from Israel. And then Israel would be on its own. In fact, Russia right now is talking with Hamas. There's proof that they're talking with Hamas and they're willing to join up with Hamas to destroy the Jews if they can, because that would be something that would hurt us. Now, the question is, why would you put off today what you should have done yesterday? Why would we put off today what we should have already done? Number one, why wouldn't you go ahead and get saved? Friend, this thing wraps up and you're lost. You don't know the Lord. You're going to be left behind. And if you've heard the gospel, and I'm telling you the gospel today is you're a sinner, Christ died for you, paid your sin debt, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. And you have to have a time and place in your life where you have trusted Him as your Savior, where you have been born again, twice born, born again. You can't be born and not know it. Your birth certificate would tell you differently. And you not must be born again. And if you're not saved, friend, listen, I think this thing is really coming to fruition. I don't know. I don't want to panic strick anybody, but I'm telling you, God is moving. A lot of things are happening. But it doesn't matter where it is, you ought to get saved anyway. You ought to get saved. And if Christ comes and you're not saved, you're going to be left behind, and you've heard the gospel, and you will not be saved during the tribulation period. And I'm telling you, Israel is going to go into, God's not through with them. Israel is going to have terrible problems in the future. They are going to have terrible problems. And they are going to fall for the lie of Antichrist. Antichrist is going to step up on the scene. And as they're being persecuted, and all of this may lead to that, Antichrist is going to say, oh, I've got the answer. And he's going to give them a solution to the Middle East problem, which everybody wants, for 3.5 years. And then Antichrist is going to turn on the Jews. And all hell is going to break out on them again. Thank God for the two witnesses that will preach and the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will preach, and many Jews will be saved during that latter part of the tribulation period. And thank God for that. But my friend, we just see things happening. And you can see how easily it would be that all of a sudden everybody closes in on the Jews. And they are defeated in a temporary way, and somebody has to intervene, and they fall for Antichrist. Somebody that may be alive on earth right now, today, who will say, I'll solve the problem. And there will be a temporary pseudo-peace over there. All I'm saying is, look up, look out, look what's happening. See what God is doing. God is moving. And friend, if you hadn't gotten saved, you ought to get saved today. And then we as believers ought to anticipate the second coming. What do we do? I'm telling you, I'm not worried about it. I'm just not worried about it. You say, well, doesn't that stuff bother you? No, that bothers me, but I'm not worried about it. I'm going to win. How? Well, they might kill me, all right? What happens if they kill me? Where do I go? Now watch how you answer that. I go to heaven because I'm saved. I go to heaven. I can't lose. And when we back up, God doesn't want us to panic and get all worried. God's on the throne. All of this is being allowed by God to bring about His program. He is a sovereign God who is totally in charge of everything. But we ought to anticipate the second coming. What do you do, preacher? Just keep doing what God told the early church to do, the Great Commission. Don't be lazy. Don't be people that are self-centered. Be a serving people. Pass out these tracts. Serve God anywhere you can, however you can, in view of the fact that He may be coming very soon. As believers, we must and should be on fire for God in these last days. And then I think it would be good for us to pray for Jerusalem. God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I think the permanent peace will come after Christ comes back, and that'll be great. But I think we ought to pray for them right now. And I believe that as believers, it would be good if God so led you today to come to this altar and kneel. And I'm not pushing for decisions, but I'm simply saying that it would be a good time for us to be on our knees for Israel and to pray for them. And pray that when all of this is going on, some of them will come to Christ, that they would be saved. Get saved, get right with God, get revived if you're saved, and then pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's stand, please, and we will have our invitation. We're asking you, if you're not saved, to come and not wait. You need to be saved, my dear friend, today before it's too late. And maybe some of you would be willing to come and even today say, I'm behind Israel, I'm going to kneel, and I'm going to pray for Jerusalem and pray for Israel. That would be good. And some of you, if you have sin in your life, you want Jesus to come back, and you're watching pornography and you're having an affair and you're living in sin and you hadn't gotten rid of your drugs and all of those things. You don't want that. If you're saved, saved people backslide. And if God is leading you to this church as a church home, you come and somebody will talk to you about it. We'll have our invitation after our prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're in charge of all things. And Lord, we know you're moving in these days. May it shake us up as believers that we might understand we need revival right now. We need to be doing what we're going to be doing for you now. Help us to get off of the dry rock of complacency and Laodiceanism and be on fire for you. Help that poor lost person that's here today that you love and that you gave your son to die for, that they would be saved. And Lord, help us to have the right attitude. And we pray that even our nation would have the right attitude toward Israel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.